Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yud Aleph, the 12th Perek. A brief recap of what we learned in Perek Yud Aleph. After the southern conquest of Eretz Yisrael was completed, Klal Yisrael are now going to turn northwards. An additional five kings are going to unite against Klal Yisrael, and this time there are going to be horses and chariots involved in the battles. But Hashem had told Yehoshua not to fear, and after about 7 years of battles, Klal Yisrael succeeded in conquering the entire northern part of Eretz Yisrael. Perek Yud Beis. In this perek, we are going to have the Navi recapping all the land that had already previously been conquered by Moshe Rabbeinu that will be settled by the 2.5 tribes, Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. And then the perek continues with listing the 31 kings who had been defeated by Moshe and Yehoshua. Pasuk Aleph. Ve'ela malchei ha'aretz asher hiku b'nei Yisrael. These are the lists of the kings of the land that B'nai Yisrael had smitten, Vayirshu et Artsam be'ever hayardin mizracha hashemesh, and had conquered their lands on the eastern side, the side of the sunrise of the Jordan River, Minachal Arnon, that stretched from Nachal Arnon at Har Hermon until Har Hermon, v'chol ha'arava mizracha, and all the Arava, the land eastwards of that. So just briefly to sort of put this into today's map, Nachal Arnon, which is the southernmost border that we're given over here, is, if you imagine driving down Route 90, if you're familiar with the roads in Israel, Route 90 that goes all the way sort of north-south in the country on the eastern side. So if you're driving down Route 90, you'd get to Ein Gedi. It's about halfway down the Yam HaMelech. On the other side of that, you would, there is the Nachal Arnon, the Arnon River that empties out into the Yam HaMelech. And so this is the southernmost part of the land that the 2.5 tribes are going to be given. And this southern portion was given to the tribe of Reuven. The land stretched all the way up. We first have Reuven living. Above them was Gad. And then the Nachala of Chatzi Sheva Manasseh, half of the tribe of Manasseh, was at the top. And it stretched all the way up in the top to the area of the Hermon. In Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph. We hear about how the 2.5 tribes came to acquire this land. And we're very familiar with the story. Umikne Rav Haya Livne Reuven Livne Gad Atzumaod. And the tribes of Reuven and Gad, they had a lot of cattle. Mikne Rav, they had a lot of cattle. Vayiru es Eretz Yazor ves Eretz Gilad. And they saw this land of Yazor and the land of Gilad. This is just post all the battles that B'nai Israel had just fought against Sichon, against Og. Vehine hamakom makom mikne. And they saw that this land was a fabulous place for raising cattle. So they go to Moshe and they ask him, you know, can we have this land to live on? And Moshe is very upset with them and goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and eventually it's decided that they can have this land. Sfas Emes makes a beautiful comment about the thinking that the 2.5 tribes had had over here, really the tribe of Reuven and Gad had had over here. The Sfas Emes says on the word Umikne Rav can be literally translated as wanting to kone, acquire Rav, their Rebbe. These two tribes had just found out that Moshe was not going to be coming into Eretz Yisrael with them. And they were very, very sad, very disappointed. And they wanted to remain close to Moshe Rabbeinu. So they thought that by asking if they can remain on that side of Eiver HaYarden, on the side that Moshe would be buried, they would be kone their Rav, they would be acquiring their Rav and remaining close, so to speak, to him. The Emes LeYaakov of Yaakov Kamenetsky sort of adds to this idea, and he says that Reuven and Gad are thinking, you know, if Moshe can't come into the borders of Eretz Yisrael, we're going to just have to extend the borders of Eretz Yisrael to reach Moshe Rabbeinu. And if we live on this side of the Yarden, on the eastern borders, Moshe will essentially be within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. The Pasukim from Pasuk Beis until Pasuk Hey describe these borders in more detail. And in Pasuk Vav, Moshe Eved Hashem of an Israel Hikam, V'yitna Moshe Eved Hashem Yerusha L'Ra'aveni V'Lagadi V'Lachati Sheva Manasseh. It was Moshe the servant of Hashem and B'nai Israel who had smitten all these nations. And Moshe the servant of Hashem, it's stressing again, you can see that this is all done by Moshe the servant of Hashem, had given it into the possession of Reuven and Gad and half of the tribe of Manasseh. And now after we're done describing Me'ev HaYarden, this eastern side, we go back to reminding ourselves of the different battles that had been fought in the last 7 years with Yehoshua and Am Yisrael. Pasuk Zayin Ve'ela Malchei Ha'aretz Asher Hika Yehoshua B'nai Israel. And these are the kings and the lands that Yehoshua and B'nai Israel had fought now on the western side of the Yarden. The Malbim points out that the entire land was not conquered by Yehoshua's death. And by the time Yehoshua dies, there is still much unconquered territory. But we're given a description of the borders of the land. We're told it went from Mibaal God Babikas Halavanan, from Baal God in the Valley of Lebanon. So Chazal identify Baal God as being the Banias area, slightly west of the Hermon, Va'ad Hahar Hachalak, until the Bear Hill. Now, we don't exactly know this location. We don't know where it exactly is on the map. It's the southeastern boundary of Yehoshua's conquest. Rashi says that this Chalak means Chelek, that it was a mountain range, i.e. it was divided up in a Chalukot, in different portions of this mountain. Radak says that it's a Hahar Hachalak, literally means like a smooth mountain. There were no trees growing on it. So again, we don't know exactly where this is, but this is the southeastern border of the conquest from Yehoshua's time. But what we do know is Ha'oleh Seira. This was all north, going up from the area of Seir. Vayitnar Yehoshua l'shifte Yisrael Yerusha k'machlokosam. And Yehoshua is going to give it to all the tribes of Klal Yisrael as a possession according to their different divisions. In the next few pesukim, until the end of the perek, we're going to have a list of the 31 kings that were conquered. The Medrash Rabbah says that these 31 kings had all been invited by Avraham Avinu to the Su'uda, to the feast he'd made at the weaning of Yitzchak. Vayigdal hayeled, and the child grew up, vayigamel, and he was weaned, vayas Avraham mishne gadol, b'yom higamel es Yitzchak. And Avraham made this a great feast on the day that he weaned Yitzchak. And the Medrash says there, I'll read the words of the Medrash, Ami Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Simon, Mishte Gadol. What does it mean, says the Rebbeim, that it was a great feast? Mishte Gadolim. It was a feast where great ones were invited to. Og v'chol Gadolim imo hayusham. Og and all the other great ones were there with him. So who were the great ones who were attending this feast? According to the Medrash, it was the 31 kings that we're about to have listed. And what happened at this feast? The Medrash continues and says, they turn around to Og and they say to him, didn't you say that Avraham was like a barren mule, unable to have children? Now look, he has a child. And Og laughs, says the Medrash, and says, this child, I could squish him with my finger. There's not much to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Chayech, on your life, you are making fun of this gift that I have given. You and all of the kings with you are going to be kept alive in order to see how this one, Yitzchak's children, his offspring, are going to number in the hundreds of thousands and going to come and conquer this land of Canaan. So this list of 31 kings we're about to see, according to the Medrash, were the same 31 kings that had been at the feast that Avraham Avinu had made for Yitzchak on the day that he was weaned. If you look into the text, in the action, a klaf, you'll see that the way the list goes, the pesukim look very much like the Megillah does when it lists the sons of Haman, sort of one name on top of another name. Examples like the pasuk will say, Melech Chevron, Echad, the king of Chevron, one. And the line will be blank. And then on the next line, Melech Yarmut, Echad. And then again, blank, Melech Lachish Echad. And it goes through all the 31 kings like that. The Gemara Megillah describes this style. B'chanina bar b'hapa says, in the name of Rabbi Shila of Kfar Timrata, that all biblical songs are written as half bricks arranged upon whole bricks. So think how Oz Yashir looks. It's a style of half a brick and then a whole brick with gaps. The exception to the rule, says the Gemara, are the lists of Haman's sons and the lists of the kings of Canaan. They look like half bricks on half bricks and whole bricks on whole bricks. And what's the reason for this, says the Gemara? That it looks like one long column, one tall column, and it sort of has no base, that it can easily topple over. And it's the way of showing that these evildoers will topple over and will never rise again. Of the 31 kings that we're going to have listed, 17 of them, we've seen their names already in the battles that we've read about from Perek Vav until Perek Yud Aleph, the last few Prakim. 14 of these kings, we only come across them for the first time in this list. So it kind of shows us that the information that we have about the battles written in Sefer Yehoshua doesn't really give us a full comprehensive description of every battle and skirmish. It just wasn't necessary to provide that information, but 31 kings were killed. As you go through the list, though, the Rambam does point out that in some cases the king was captured and killed, but the actual territory was not fully conquered. And a great example, as we're going to see, it says Melech Yerushalayim, the king of Yerushalayim. Now, we understand that the king of Yerushalayim was conquered by Yehoshua, was killed, sorry, by Yehoshua, but we know that the territory, the area of Yerushalayim, isn't going to be fully conquered until much later in the time of David HaMelech. It's important to note that we go through, you know, this whole list and we see all these wars and battles. We might begin to think it's a bit barbaric, all these wars, you know, is this exactly what we should be doing? And we need to know this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. And the Torah tells us why. In Shmos Perek Kaf Gimel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to describe to Am Yisrael how he's going to be with them as they conquer the lands, and how after all the conquests, Hashem will, you know, be on their side battling with them. And Hashem there at the end says, Lo yeshvu ba'artzecha, do not let any of these enemies remain in the land, pen yachtiu oscha, lest they cause you to sin li against me, ki sa'avodos Elohehem ki yelachalamokesh, because you will come to serve their gods, and that will be like a snare for you and will trap you. If these nations remain in the land, it's going to be their idol worship that will eventually affect you and really cause Am Yisrael's downfall. And we know by the end of the period of Bayis Rishon, by the end of the first temple period, one of the reasons that Hashem brings, destroys the Beis HaMikdash and the Galus, really their start, is because of Avodah Zarah, because of idol worship. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yehoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker in memory of our dear grandmothers, Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, Leana Shalom, and Ashot Chayil, who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasam, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I hope everyone has a wonderful day.